So I mentioned last week that I'm not a big fan of confrontation. And some of your jaws kind of drop and you think, no, come on, my pastor, he loves confrontation. I mean, just listen to what he talks about. No, I don't. I don't love confrontation. I don't run toward confrontation. But as a pastor, confrontation and kind of uncomfortable conversations, they just go with the territory. It's just part of life. And in fact, I would say any of you who are living and breathing, it's just part of life. And to avoid confrontation, to avoid the difficult conversations, just takes things from bad to worse. And so we have to confront things. We have to have some difficult conversations. In fact, God's word is full of confrontation. Have you read the Bible? All right? It's full of confrontation. That's just, when you read the Bible, it should both excite you and it should smack you in the face. It should confront you. And if it doesn't do both of those, then keep reading and keep praying, because it should excite you and it should smack you in the face every once in a while. That's what God's word does. And in both cases, it's so good. It's so good. You know, the Lord never promised us a life free of confrontation. And I know some of us, that's how we want to live our lives. Just, again, like I talked about last week, safe. You know, keep me away from confrontation. I just want things to go smooth. And like we think, hey, if my life is smooth, then I must be, you know, following Jesus just right. And if my life isn't smooth, then something's out of whack. That's not true. That's not biblical. We're never promised a life free of confrontation. I found conviction from the Holy Spirit is very confrontational. How many of you can agree with me on that? How many of you ever get convicted by the Holy Spirit? You know what I'm saying? It's a good thing, isn't it? It's a good thing. But it's confrontational. It can make me downright uncomfortable at times. It challenges my wrong thinking, exposes my unhealthy and even unbiblical lifestyle that might creep back in. That's what confrontation does. It's a good thing. Jesus said in John 16:8 that when the Holy Spirit came, he would convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He wouldn't make everybody feel warm and fuzzy, but he would convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The gospel of Jesus, we even talked about it a little bit earlier. The gospel itself is confrontational. But confrontation of the gospel is what everybody needs. Everybody needs that. So God is confrontational, but he's confrontational for our good. Can you believe that right now? He's confrontational for our good. Confrontation from God is often a way to rescue us and to save us, to protect us, and even bless us. Confrontation. So we need to welcome confrontation, because it's about to happen even right now. Y'all ready for this? We're about to get confrontational right now. For the last 4 years, and this has been something that it's really a lifelong thing for me that I'm about to talk about, but specifically for the last 4 years, I guess this cycle of this has been about 4 years long, okay? For the last 4 years, I've been regularly confronted with conviction that I know is from God, from the Holy Spirit. I've been confronted to address my physical health. It's been something that's been hitting me for 4 years. I was eating too much. I was eating the wrong stuff. I was unhealthy. I'm getting older. You're like, no, you're not. Thank you. I love y'all. You're awesome. Thank you. I'm getting older, and I'm getting weaker, and older and weaker, and I'm doing nothing about it. And the Lord was confronting me on this. It was affecting a lot of areas of my life. My physical health was. So today I'm gonna tell you a little bit my story, share some of my story from that perspective on a message that I've titled Man versus Food. It could be my picture. I was gonna put my picture on that slide right there, Man versus Food. with my mouth stuffed with like a big cheeseburger or something like that, but I thought maybe not. Anyway, I preached on it before. Only once before have I preached on this topic. And it's like, haven't you been a pastor for a long time? Yeah, well over a decade. But I believe I haven't preached on this topic very often because I never feel like an expert at it, because I'm always feeling, most of the time, conviction about this particular topic. It's been one of my biggest struggles all my adult life. I've had trouble saying no to unhealthy food, but I know I'm not alone. Just not. And just let me say this. You might be here and you might be going like, I don't have an issue with food. I'm not as messed up as that pastor is. But I'm going to tell you what, you're messed up somewhere. I mean, just think about it. There's probably something in your life that's unhealthy that you run to that the Lord's been convicting you of. So food might not be your thing. That's going to be kind of how I'm presenting this particular message. But your thing might be something else. God's word speaks to every aspect of our lives. Every aspect of our lives. In 2 Peter 1:3, God's word says that he's given us everything we need for life and godliness. For life. For this life. For waking up this morning and living and moving and having our being in Christ Jesus. And so to frame this discussion, to launch into my story, I want to go to the life of Daniel, get some perspective on food and physical health. Daniel 1, beginning in verse 8. Daniel 1, verse 8. Here's what God's word says. It says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And so he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. I don't want to eat the junk food. It was produced in a plant with peanuts offered to idols. I'm just saying, I'm just making that up, by the way, okay? All right, let's get back to the word here. So at the end of the 10 days, we're going to jump over to verse 15 now. Jump up to verse 15. At the end of the 10 days, because he asked himself, he didn't want to do this, not eating the royal food and the wine, not eating the junk food of Babylon, right? After 10 days of not eating that, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. My second oldest son would be like, that would be hell on earth. But this is what they did, right? They gave them vegetables instead of the royal junk food, if you will. Verse 17. To these four young men who ate differently, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. Now, we understand the bigger lesson here is not just a lesson about your diet and about eating vegetables. So don't think that I think that, and you don't think that either, okay? The bigger lesson here is about living consecrated lives before the Lord, submitting our entire lives to the Lord, laying everything at his feet. He is God in every area of our lives. We live consecrated to him, fully laid down, laid out for him. That's the big message right here. But Daniel does introduce a real fact as we're looking at this, and that is that what we eat matters. That's point number one. What we eat matters. And I would say how we eat also. I want to say this too. If we separate our physical being, right? If we separate our physical being and the condition of our physical being from our spiritual being, we are participating in a heresy called Gnosticism. So I know that it can become popular. People can think, well, that my relationship with God and what God's really concerned about is my spiritual condition with him. Yes, he is. But he created you perfectly, and he put you in a physical body, which, by the way, is going to be resurrected. See, God cares about all of this. And when we jump to that place where God doesn't care about the physical stuff, then we go where narcissism ends up going, and that is, you know what? God's really not concerned about my body and what I do to my body or with my body or to whom I do it with or any of that kind of stuff. And as long as I have some kind of ethereal spiritual relationship that I confess and say, and by the time I lay my head down at night, believe once again, then my relationship with God is okay and nothing I do physically in my body matters. That's one of the aspects of this heresy called Gnosticism, which was already showing its ugly face and being taught in the early church. Read it. It's right in here. But it's still alive and well. So you might be thinking, Pastor, why aren't you preaching about spiritual stuff? I'm here to say I am. This is spiritual. God is concerned with these things. Let's go back to my story. I want to talk about my story a little bit and frame it that way. This is also therapeutic for me. It's just time of confession, you know. Anyway, but so I grew up with a family that loves to snack. We like to eat. I didn't get this big, you know, just by, I mean, you know what I'm saying. I would have so much milk. I mean, I think my mom thought that milk was like the magic whatever substance, that every kid has to drink like 2 gallons of milk a day if they're going to be healthy. And so it worked for me. I mean, my bones got bigger and so did everything else. Anyway, so we like to snack, though, is one of the big aspects of our family. I just got back from time up in Minnesota with the family. And I'm going to tell you what, we like to snack. We like our ice cream. And when I talk about having some ice cream, I don't talk about 2 scoops. I talk about 2 bowls of ice cream at a sitting. We never, ever did I ever see one of those little quart or whatever of ice cream. It was always the gallon jug of ice cream, multiple gallon jugs of ice cream in our freezer. That's how we rolled at the Jones house, all right? And we liked our cookies, our brownies, our chips and dips and salsas and all that kind of stuff. And then we balanced it all out, though, with diet soda. And at the time, the whole marketing and then what everybody was saying is that this stuff is like vitamins or something. And like if you have diet soda with the junk food, it balances it all out. It negates all the bad stuff because you just had this thing called diet soda. And so we had Tab and we had Diet Right. You know, remember those names back in the day, right? How many of you remember Tab? The drink Tab, all right? Y'all are old like me. Okay. So that's what we were told anyway, that this stuff is all okay. I want to tell you what. How many of you are finally realizing that what the world tells us is true is not always true? How many of you are sorry? I mean, if you don't realize it after the last year and a half, 2 years, then I don't know, man. I don't know. You need a lot of help, a lot of healing, some deliverance. You know what I'm saying? But by the way, I'm just going to make this kind of rabbit trail right here, just because this is going on right now, and this whole monkeypox thing. You're like, is he going to step in this? I'm going to step in it, because, you know, it's just another opportunity to create hysteria in our nation, another boogeyman, another thing for us to be afraid of, another reason for us to allow something else out there, to control us and dictate how we're going to live our lives, when the only thing that should be controlling us and dictating how we're going to live our lives is the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word and what He has to say. 98% of the people who have contracted monkeypox are gay men who engage in sexual activities. I'm just telling you. Okay? But that's not what the news says. Everybody in the world should be afraid of it. What the world says is not always accurate. It's not. What the world sells is not always good for us. But it's at Sprouts. It's got to be good for me. Okay. All right. And everything is not beneficial. Daniel understood this because he knew Scripture. Now, he knew this. It's found in Genesis 9:3. He understood everything that lives and moves, God said, will be food for you. Just as I gave you green plants, I now give you everything. Now, God said that before diet soda was created and before sinful man created genetically modified foods and processed sugars and all that kind of stuff. I'm just saying. But anyway, but Daniel, I believe, also understood a precept that was later given to us by the Apostle Paul. And we see that Daniel understood this precept that everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. That's in 1 Corinthians 10:23. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. So we can eat whatever we want to eat. However, that doesn't mean that we should eat everything, because not everything is beneficial. I'm thinking about this. Our diet, it can strengthen us or it can weaken us. Our diet can empower us or it can poison us. Our diet can fuel us or it can kill us. Check this out. I worked with somebody who actually got blood poisoning from aspartame. Aspartame, you know, that's what's in a lot of these diet drinks and other things such as that. It's chemically based. It's man-made. Anyway, here's what happened. Aspartame turned into wood alcohol in this guy's body. It changed into wood alcohol in his body. It poisoned his nervous system. Now look at this. It poisoned his brain. This is a guy that I worked with. I was close with. I watched it happen. I bailed him out of jail one time because it so messed up his brain and his thinking, his cognitive skills, and his understanding of reality that he had to be arrested. It's a guy who ran a company. Successful. He was unable to work, unable to function in relationships. It nearly ended his marriage. His wife had to get a restraining order on him. And I'm going to tell you what, it was this, because I worked very closely with him. That was the time when I bought my first gun. I'm just being real. That's how much this was messing him up. This physical thing was messing with his emotions, with his ability to understand truth, with his ability to be able to have relationship with people. All these things that God has given us. And one thing it surely did was it kept him from the calling that God had on his life as a Christian man. Our physical health is supposed to help our ministry and our calling, not hinder it. Good news, my friend got help, a lot of treatment. His wife stayed with him. He's now healed, functioning, and enjoying Jesus. He was healed. But it almost took everything from him, including his life. Again, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. What we ingest can and will actually change our chemical makeup, which affects how we process life, how we see things, how we respond to things, how we can minister to people, how we can understand what God is saying and how He's... I mean, these things matter. God created our bodies in this way. And this is why He wants us to fuel our bodies with the right stuff. What we eat matters. 1 Corinthians 6, beginning in 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Now that's amazing right there, isn't it? Our bodies, a temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, who lives in us, God in us. Wow. Amazing. But our bodies are that. You're not your own then, Scripture continues. So do you understand that? I hope you do. You're not your own. I'm crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ who lives in me. I don't live by the flesh. I'm not my own anymore. My body, even, is a temple of the Holy Spirit. My body now is to be cared for and used for God's purposes and God's glory. Not just my mind, not just my thinking, not just my beliefs, but every fiber of my being that God has created is to be used for His glory. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. I told you this was going to be confrontational. That's why I set it up that way. But I'm here to tell you, I've already been there, okay? I've been receiving this confrontation for a long time from the Lord, okay? I'm not up here preaching at people. I'm not up here, you know, trying to put something on anybody. But I do feel like this is important for us. Because I believe we have an amazing opportunity right here and right now to bring the kingdom of God into this broken world, to bring the gospel, to minister the love of Jesus to a hurting world. And I don't want anything to hinder us. I don't want anything to sidetrack us. I want us to walk in the fullness of all that God has for us. When I found out the diet soda wasn't good for me, I was drinking, man, I don't know if it was a gallon of it. I replaced kind of the milk with diet soda at one point in my life. And then I saw what this did to my friend. I had a choice to make: defile myself with this poison in that way, or continue to pollute, or just say no. I wish I could say that I immediately said no, but I didn't. I was hooked. I was addicted. It took me years of battling my flesh. And just so you know, if you see me someday drinking a diet soda, every once in a while I still have one. The flesh, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes. It's obvious that what we eat matters, but I want to go a little bit deeper. Why was I choosing to eat garbage? Why was I eating too much of it? That brings us to point number two: why we eat matters. Not just what we eat, but let's go deeper here. Why we eat what we eat matters. And here's the deal. Here's the reality. Life can be hard. There are disappointments in life. There are hurts. There's insecurity. There's loneliness. We live in a broken world. It's not a real friendly place. Things are hard. But where do we go when things get hard? Where do we go when we're lonely? Where do we go when we feel hurt and disappointed when life throws us those curveballs? How many of you have ever received a curveball in life? Amen. Yeah. Maybe this week, probably, right? But where do we go? Do we go to God for comfort, or do we go to other sources for our comfort? You know, when times get hard, we hear people, oh, I just need some me time. No, you need some Jesus time. I just need to unplug, you know, so I'm gonna turn the TV on and just unplug. You know, no, you need to plug in to the Lord right now. You need to plug into truth. You need to let God speak to you right now. I told you this world lies to us. Its ways are not God's ways. Me time is such a lie. Such a lie. Me time if it's God time. That's what I want to say. So I was turning to food to meet a need that only God can meet in my life. And I want to say it again. Food might be your thing like it has been mine, but maybe something else is your thing if food isn't your thing. Maybe you run to something else instead of food when you're lonely or insecure or nervous. I run to food. Maybe you run to drinking or entertainment or pornography, or maybe you run to projects, just getting really busy with something, or just run back to the office and get busy with work. Whatever the distraction is, what do you run to for comfort? I was turning to food for only what the Lord could do for me. Psalm 107:9 says, "For he, the Lord satisfies the thirsty, and he fills the hungry with good things." Who does that? The Lord does. The Lord satisfies our thirst, our emptiness. Only God does that. Food doesn't do that. It just makes you feel worse about yourself. Pornography doesn't do that. It just makes you feel worse about yourself. Watching some stupid show that's blaspheming the Lord and using His name in vain doesn't fill you up and make you feel any better or quench that thirst. It just makes you feel more dirty and just sears your heart more against holiness and righteousness. It just does. The Lord satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. See, the result of eating to satisfy my flesh, eating to fulfill these unmet needs that I might think I have, which, by the way, God meets all my needs. So an unmet need is just something that is wrong thinking. It really is. If God meets all your needs, then what unmet need do you have? Which is why we go and run to God when we find ourselves in those situations, because He does meet those needs. But all the result of all of this, running to this to satisfy my flesh, eating to cover up my hurt, it wasn't God's prescription. Therefore, it didn't do me any good. Check this out, Proverbs 25, 27. It is not good to eat too much honey. How many of you like honey? Honey's pretty good. And it's even natural, right? It's not so bad for you, right? But even that, we're not talking about genetically modified GMO honey. We're just talking about honey right here. So even that, right? It's not good to eat too much honey, nor is it honorable to seek one's own honor. It's not honorable and good for me to eat the whole gallon of ice cream. It's just not. To feel better. It's not the way to go. So that was a polite passage. There was a few passages earlier in Proverbs 25 in verse 16 that says this. It says, if you find honey, eat just enough. Too much of it and you will vomit. It won't be good for you, in other words. So why is it that I have a tendency? Why is it? What happens when I eat too much? What's the cause of that? It's my flesh. My flesh. It's not God that's shoving stuff down my throat. It's not the Spirit of God. It's my flesh. My fleshly desires that's doing that. The Bible has a lot to say about this particular thing about eating too much, and it's called gluttony. It's a sin that I was committing. Paul speaks of it this way: their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. And so as we see that, he says their God is their stomach. And again, I'm just talking about this because this is my story. It's my struggle. It's what I've been walking through. But maybe your God isn't your stomach. Maybe it's your eyes looking at whatever it is that you want to look at. Maybe it's your work. Your God is your work and your status that you get and that feeling that you get, that serotonin, that dopamine kick that you get because you're the man at the office. You're the woman that, you got it all together and everybody thinks that you walk on water because you're so good at your job. Okay. But right here, Paul's saying that their God is their stomach. In other words, sin of gluttony is idolatry. It's another God. It's an idol. It's idolatry. The choice to self-love, to seek comfort and control life through food. And again, I'm talking to you from a guy who struggles with this and who has struggled with this. My flesh is prone to gluttony. How many of you understand that there are certain things that your flesh, they're just things. I mean, that some people, they're just different things that each person has, it seems like. It says 1 Corinthians 10, 13, no temptation has seized you except what's common to man. It's common. Whatever it is that's tempting you, it's common to man. But God is faithful. He won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And then he says, and he'll always provide a way out from it. In Hebrews, it says that God was, he was tempted in every way. He understands what we're dealing with. But when I look at things rightly, right, here we are. When I look at things rightly, when I open this up and I let God speak to me and tell me how it is, that's when I understand that He's my provision. He's my comfort. He's all that I need. Jesus declared, John 6:35, I'm the bread of life. Who's the bread of life? Jesus. And He says that he who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. I just want to say what I've learned over the years is that I'm a better man. I'm a better Jesus follower when I let God's word speak into and lead me in and through every area and aspect of life. I just end. Even the ones that are uncomfortable, especially the ones that are uncomfortable. Point number three, the final point, there are real results. Real results to what I eat and why. There's real results to what I watch and why. To what I say, to what I do and why. There's real results to all of these things. Now, I don't have a lot of experience with the having a firm grip on the area of and the discipline of healthy eating, but I'm, by God's grace, have been experiencing some of that recently. I've been experiencing some recently. It's only by His grace. 8 months ago, I'm an all or nothing guy, by the way. Those of you who've been around me understand that. I really am. I'm an all or nothing guy. I like to go big or go home. With it, whatever. If it's sin, it's sin. If it's holiness, it's holiness. You know, I mean, I'm just that way. And so praise God that He got my heart, because I don't know where I'd be right now. I'd be all in a really bad way in some really bad places. So I'm an all or nothing kind of all in kind of guy. And I can't just kind of go, oh, I'm just going to control this a little bit or just kind of move that over there or not do this. I got to go for it if I'm going to do it. So I started looking at my eating habits and my health because, again, the Holy Spirit was convicting me of it and confronting me with this. Why? I was the worst shape I'd ever been in my life 8 months ago. I was heavier than I'd ever been 8 months ago. I was weaker than I'd ever been, physically weaker. I wouldn't go. People would talk about, let's go on a hike and all that. People might not know this, but I'd always poo-poo that idea. Why? Because I don't like nature? No. Because I didn't think I could even make it. I didn't even think I could even keep up with the people that were going on. Oh, but Pastor, you look so big and strong. It's a facade, man. I was overweight. Hugely, I can carry it well because I'm tall and big boned, as they say. And that is a blessing, but not when it hides real problems. And I was weak, physically weak. And it was affecting my life, affecting relationships, affecting choices that I was able or not able to make. I was running to food for comfort, and it was only making things worse. Making me feel, says Scripture, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Well, I was feeling condemnation in junk food. I was. So I purposed to make some real changes. And so I went on a diet, first thing. I wanted to start working out and get stronger, but I knew I couldn't. With where I was physically, I couldn't even do that. And so I went on a diet, and I lost 40 pounds on the diet. And that's you can think, thank you, but I'm going to tell you what. I've got brothers and sisters in the Lord that I know that have lost well over 100 pounds in the last year. As they alone, on their own journey with the Lord, felt conviction and encouragement and empowered by the grace of Jesus to just choose some different ways of living. So, I mean, it just isn't my story. And it's just not even that the Lord's only convicting me in this season. He's bringing these things up, I believe, because he wants his church to be healthy in every way. Spirit, soul, body, relationally, in every way. He wants us to be healthy and effective and happy also. So I started to exercise after a couple months of losing weight. And my son has been asking me for a year and a half, my oldest son Jake, a year and a half, who's about to start his third week as a Scottsdale Fire, as a firefighter. Awesome. I'm so proud of him. So excited. And it's been asking me for a year and a half to join the CrossFit gym with him. And of course, I kept saying no, 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 not because I didn't want to do it. Everything in me wanted to spend that time with my son and my daughter-in-law, that they would ask me time and time again to come into their world. Come on, as parents, you know what that means. That means everything. But there was this thing that was keeping me from that. It was my physical health, my weakness. I lost the weight. I go to work out. The first time I go work out, it's leg day. Leg day. You remember me hiking? Yeah, no, you don't want to do that, right? It's leg day. 20 minutes into leg day, I fell on my butt. B-U-double-T. I fell on my butt. Not because I tripped, but because everything they gave out. Oh, my daughter-in-law and all the other girls in the group, not to mention the guys, they just kept going. I get back up. Well, I don't know what happened. 2 box steps later, I'm on my butt again. But I came back. I didn't quit because I knew I had to do this. If you think it's just me, Pastor Phil has been feeling conviction, you're thinking, well, Pastor Phil, you know, he's look at him, he's thin, he's got a great build, a handsome man, what does he need with all of this, right? And so, but the Lord was convicting him for other reasons and for different purposes and just what he's putting in and how he's handling food and all those types of things. And he's experiencing freedom and joy and health, and it's been a great season for him in that. But let me go back to Daniel as I wrap things up. Remember this young man and his friends, they decided not to defile themselves with food that they were convinced was not good for them. They just said no, right? And how did it turn out for these guys? Verse 15, Daniel 1. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. Now I want to say this. Notice that Daniel didn't even take the health journey alone. Daniel and his friends, they did this together. These men who feared God were in this together. Every area of life that we do, we should be doing with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. There's no reason to go at it alone. No area. We're in this together. So they did this together. We need one another. I have a coach on the diet side of things named John McCatton. I have a coach that helps me with that. He keeps me accountable. I got to talk to him every week, and I got to give an account. You know what I'm saying? That's a good thing. I also work out now at the CrossFit gym with a lot of people, so that's encouraging. It's also an amazing outreach opportunity. God has opened up some awesome opportunities for outreach and for the gospel in and through this, and that's ultimately what God wants from all of this, right? The gospel to go forth. That's what he wants. So, let's go to verse 16. So the guard took away their choice food and wine, and they were to drink what they were to drink, and gave them vegetables instead. What was the result? Verse 17. To these 4 young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. Now, I want to go back because the main thing is this, is that they received these things because they did things God's way, because they consecrated their lives, because they listened to what the Lord called them to do, and they went with what God said, not with what the world said. But it had to do with food. And I'm going to go back to this, that what we put into us is going to affect what comes out of us. Even emotionally, intellectually, My mom would say, hey, make sure you eat something before you go to school so that you can, you know, and I think there's something to that. I never did it. Maybe that's why I'm not a rocket scientist and all that kind of stuff, but I believe that the life of Daniel helps us understand how spiritual our handling of food and our health can actually be. Again, disconnecting our physical health from our spiritual health and from our relationship with God. It's not biblical. It's Gnosticism. It's heretical. God created us, spirit, soul, body, and he did create us to enjoy food. How many of you enjoy food? Amen, I'm with you. He created us to enjoy food, but more importantly, he created us to enjoy health. He did. And we can do both. We can handle food God's way. I'm not trying to make an argument between, oh, we should be vegans or vegetarians or meat eaters or this or that, or, man, you need to do this diet or that diet, and I've got this MLM thing that I'm going to propose for everybody. We're not going anywhere like that. It's not about any of those things. And it's definitely not about pointing out one another's eating habits. I'm just sharing you mine because I feel like I was supposed to. That's one of the joys of being a pastor. Sometimes we get to air our laundry out there for the betterment of the body of Christ. And it's just definitely, this whole conversation is definitely not about judging one another in any way. We're all in different places. We all have, I mean, look at me. We have different frames. You know, we have different builds. We have different metabolisms. There's all kinds of factors that enter into all of these kinds of things. What I'm talking about, it goes back to what's God saying to you? Is he challenging you in this area? Is he encouraging you in this area? Listen to him. Respond to him. If he's maybe it's the area of entertainment, maybe it's another area, whatever it is, talk to some of your brothers and sisters in the Lord about this. Maybe you bring it up in your life group. You find some encouragement there. And whatever it might be, let's see what God is saying. I want to end with this passage of Scripture from Romans 14. By the way, thanks for listening to my story. Appreciate it. It says this in Romans 14, beginning verse 1. Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak, maybe my faith is getting weaker because I'm not feeling like I should eat everything, but anyway, that's a side note. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does not, for God has accepted him. Do you hear the heart of God here? God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. And he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. So with that, let's stand up and let's close.